All right, Matthew's Gospel 28. Now today we want to look at our leadership, and I will find something to call it at the end of the day. You know, in whatever you do, for example, what I do for a living, we try to hire people who know exactly what we're looking for. And I remember that we did this survey, because my work requires a lot of testing, and we spend a lot to test, to find out whether this is what we're looking for. So we spend a lot of money to do it. And there was even one where I spent a whole lot of, it was very painful. We tried not to talk about it. We're going to get the licenses from the authorities. We're written the name of the particular material on the license. We now found out the thing didn't exist there. So painful. And why did we have that challenge? There was another one that was so funny. That one, we had done the test. No, we hadn't done the test, but we're trying to do test something. We had brought a surveyor to do the test. He just did a wishy-washy thing, and we were made to believe that the material on that particular site was so-and-so. And we were going about the place. So every time someone comes in who's a potential client, and he comes, and they say, this thing is not, we say, go. You know, we believed what we had done. Till finally, we got a very experienced person who had been working with us to do the test. And it didn't take him long to say, what did you say was on this place? You know, and in life you have to face such reality. He said, no, this is not the material. And he ran all the tests. And it was a disappointment. But it's not as bad as if you had sold it and they are claiming back their money. It's good that you lost your money. But if you lose your money and you have collected money and you have spent it, and they ask you to pay it back, you need the leading of the Holy Ghost not to tear somebody apart. Imagine you not knowing the material you are told to examine or produce. Now you are a leader, a pastor. Do you know when you have a finished product? Can you detect it? How many of you work in the manufacturing industry here? Or what do you call that? The FMCOG, is that? Huh? How many of you work in such an organization? You manufacture. But you know what you are manufacturing. Right? When you produce it, you know what it is. If you go to the plants, you can recognize it. You should be able to. If you produce disciples, you should know. You should recognize it. So at this level of, that's why a bishop must not be a novice. You must know exactly what the finished product is. Now, finished product is not the end, you know. You still have to guarantee. Sometimes you have to do, what do you call it, warranty. You also have maintenance, right? Who work with it. Sometimes, and that's what you do. That's why in preaching and raising disciples, it doesn't end. You have to ensure that it's relevant and effective all day long, all life long. But there must be a finished product that you'll be able to say, and so I say, bro, today this brother can handle this. You should know. This sister is capable of doing this. That means you know what the finished product is. You won't certify. If you certify what's wrong, you know, we have that corrupt system. People will certify what is not legitimate. You say, this thing is supposed to be 30%. But it's 28.55. You say, oh God, now what does it mean? You're small. It's just very little remaining. Help me now, help me. See, my children have not eaten since morning. See, my children have not seen. My father died, and the burial money is on me. I'm the firstborn. If you don't approve this thing, and I get to my office, they won't pay me salary. The guy says, I don't want to know what's so, okay, how do you want me to go about it? Okay, what do you want? So you pay the guy. Because you say, if you are really interested in taking care of your children, you will ensure that the thing is 30%. By the time the guy says, okay, bring something, because you have to give the lab guy, I have to give the guy who works, and you know, this is what you are getting, guy, you are not serious. Hey, you count more, give them. They come to church. Jaira, more than enough. The person that is going to use it is not more than enough. It's not even up to enough. You don't know the product. So if you pass someone across who is not fit, is this fellow ready? Say, wow, pastor, he's somehow ready. Then you tell the guy before he meets the pastor, dress well, no piso. Anything they just say, just speak in tongues. You are packaging it. You cannot make an inferior product, a qualitative product, overnight. There's a process to it. So when he said in Matthew 28, make disciples of every nation, he gave the parameter. In verse 20, teaching them to observe what things soever that I have commanded you. To observe what things soever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So he gave them the parameter to test. You can't just decide who a disciple is. There's a parameter. Teaching them to observe what things soever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So there's a parameter to it. So when you get to the book of Acts and you see people called disciples, Acts 1:14-15, Acts 6:1, Acts 6:17, when you read about disciples, there is a parameter, there's a measuring tape. So I'm going to ask you, Pastor, do you know when someone is fit to be called a disciple? Do you know when you have a finished product? No, we know, we said the finished product doesn't mean that it's not going to be used, and it's not going to be, use the word serviced or maintained, which is why we are always taught discipled for the rest of our life. But you see, imagine if you buy a product meant to be a finished product, and it's supposed to at least have some years of warranty. From the first day, I told you the story of one sound machine we bought, House of 80 Ibadan. That should be 1998. The brother went to Alaba Market to get it for us. The very first day, never seen that in my life, I hope not to again. And they put it in the socket. They went, woo! They said, no, it's the technology. We began to check. So everyone we brought to check, no one opened it. Just said, the wire, you know. I guess they didn't know what to do. Until one brother, Lakon Shop, I'll call him Oscar. He's in Calabar now. He said to me, he said, Pastor, let's open it now. He just opened it. Woo! It was a box with wires. I'm saying there was nothing else but wires. He said, Pastor. This does not need servicing. It is not what it is. So no matter how long you try, it's not a finished product. Brother, now go forever. Brother, do it. It's not a finished product. It's a fake product. So you, do you know what a finished product is? Can you tell? Or do you pass for feet what is not finished yet? Make disciples of every nation. So I put him here. Let me outline the basic things in your leadership that will get to how to know I have a finished product. What are the basic things in my leadership? The first thing about my leadership is that I'm meant to reach out. I'm meant to reach out. I'm not meant to want people to come. I'm meant to reach out. Go into all the world. Make disciples of every nation. Matthew 28 and 19. Go into all the world. Mark 16, 15. Luke 24, 47. Repent and the mission should preach in all nations. Among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You go. That's the first thing. I reach out. Notice that in Matthew's Gospel chapter 4, Jesus reached out. He went to the seaside from verse 16 and 17. Then he saw Peter and his brother, Andrew. They were catching fish. Then he said, follow me. So he reached out to them. In every of his disciples, he reached out to them. The first thing is you must learn to reach out. You reach out. In my leadership, are we reaching out? Are we going out? In Ezekiel 34, one of the attributes of the shepherd is that he goes out to get the sheep. The first thing is, I must reach out. Continually. The moment I stop reaching out, then I have no product to work on. Number two, I must create mentorship and fellowship. Mentorship and fellowship. Mentorship and fellowship. Now, I said it, they look like they are not the same, but I will get mentorship from fellowship. Mark 3:14, Jesus called the disciples, the apostles, that they might be with him. Follow me and I'll make you. Mentorship, fellowship. Mentorship, fellowship. Mentorship, fellowship. So that's the second thing about my leadership. The third is I must have a strong teaching culture. A strong teaching culture where I'm imparting knowledge, wisdom, and information. Knowledge, wisdom, and information. That's why you see that Jesus said, teaching them. Matthew 28, 20. A strong teaching culture. Now, teaching is both by precept and by example, but a strong teaching culture means you are ever ready to teach. And one of the ways you develop that is that you are always developing your teaching ability. There's a teaching gift, right? And there's a teaching skill. There's a teaching gift and there's a teaching skill. Now let me explain that. The teaching skill is the ability to teach. That is the grace of God. All right? It's a ministry gift. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11. Romans chapter 12. That should be verse 7 or so. To teach. Then with that is when you are now able to teach others. 2 Timothy 2:2. Things you have heard of me amongst many witnesses, the same. It says you communicate to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. So you develop your teaching gift by exercise, by being around a strong teaching culture. And one of the things you learn is that you also learn explanation. You learn how to explain. You learn how, for example, your pastor answers questions. How he resolves biblical issues. How he gives counsel. Because your job is not just to teach scripture and walk away. You're also supposed to provide counsel by teaching. So you develop a strong teaching culture. Number one, you reach out. You must reach out. You must reach out. And that will tell you the next thing. It means that no matter your personality trait, which will be developed from birth, you must break out of that personality trait. Because your job includes relating with people. As much as you can be an introvert in other matters, but when it comes to the work of the ministry, you must interact. Or else you'll be passed across as a snob, alright? As a snob, as an arrogant and proud person, and nobody has the opportunity to see you the second time. You must be able to interact. Your work is amongst people, you therefore must have people skills. The ability to relate with people. I know the world will call it emotional intelligence, though I would call it that. I would say it's the wisdom of God from the Word. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You will meditate day and night and observe to do what's in therein. Then you make your way prosperous and deal wisely in the affairs of men, in the affairs of life. That's why Paul will tell that if you have conflicts among one another, bring it to the church. Which means that the people in the church must be able to interact. So you must have people skills. You should be able to, don't say, well, I have this personality, I'm just a private person. I understand. Now, in your life, you can be a private person. But you can't be a private person to work on the ministry. You can't say, well, I can't greet people like that. I can't like, yeah. You can't say things like that. You will have to break out of that personality. And wear the personality of a servant of God. Which means you must be accessible, available, and interact with people. So, number three. A strong teaching culture. A strong teaching culture. You have to teach. You have to teach. 1 Timothy 3:2, a bishop must be able to teach. 2 Timothy 2:24, servant of the Lord is apt to teach. Same thing. So one, I reach out. Two, I mentor and fellowship. Fellowship means I'm able to interact. I break away from my tribal group. I break away from my age grade. I break away from my social status group. And I am able to mingle with others. Three, a strong teaching culture. Four, impartation. To be able to pour my life and my ministry into others. That also includes laying on of hands. Impartation. Paul, obviously, in 1 Thessalonians and chapter 2. Impartation. The grace of God on my life. The workings of the Spirit of God in my life. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 7. Well, gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we're willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but our own souls, because you were dear to us. So our lives. Then by the laying on of hands too, I'm able to impart. I pray that in the meetings where I preach, in my cell group fellowship, oh God, as I preach and minister, let be an impartation of the grace of God on my life on those who are hearing me. Which means that I'm going to expect, I'm going to pray towards, that the things that are working in my life are working in the lives of those with me. I'm also going to expect that my conduct in Christ is reproduced in them also by impartation. I'm pouring out my life into you, I'm also pouring out my ministry. 1 Timothy 4:14. Paul says, neglect not the gift which is given you by prophecy and laying on of hands of the elders. 2 Timothy 1:6. Give by the laying on of my hands now, set it up, the gift that is given you. So I'm imparting my life, I'm imparting the gifts. So therefore, I must be able to reproduce me in those who hear me by impartation. So part of what I pray for, I should pray for as a cell group leader, as a fellowship leader, is Lord, let what is on my life spread to those who hear me. In the name of Jesus. And I'll begin to pray to impact people's lives. Number one, reach out. Fellowship and mentorship. Number two. Number three, a strong teaching culture. Number four, impartation. that also includes laying of hands. Number five, I take responsibility for the guidance of people. I take responsibility. Now, I'm aware people sometimes might decide to do what they want to do with their lives. You can't control that. But you must provide the guidance. In all of Paul's letters, it provides guidance, for those who are employers of labor, those who are employees. It provides guidance, Paul now, to fathers, mothers, husbands. He's not a husband of anybody, but he provides guidance. And he doesn't go into intricate or necessary details, just biblical wisdom. Provides guidance for different people. I must be able to provide guidance by taking responsibility. You know, I was saying something earlier today, and I told you, except otherwise, a leader does not pass the buck. No, they don't. You know, I was talking to some leaders. I mentioned it to you yesterday. And I was talking to them about just examining and making reviews of the people under their watch. And one of the leaders began to say something that looked like the fellow was complaining. And I said, why are you sounding like you're complaining? That's your job description. What you just described now, that is some of them don't study. Some of them don't take their notes. Some of them don't. That shouldn't come up in a meeting like this. That's what we all do every day. That is your job. You know, I guess some of us think God will give us to pass off finished products. Go and look for those who are disciples. That's not what he said. You will make it. I know it's very easy, but also not easy to get finished product. You don't know what they put inside. You don't know what's inside. When I was called to pastor the House of Living Stones 26 years ago, I said, I don't know what is inside this place. So I rejected the pastor. I said, I'm going to hold you for a few months and I'm going to leave because I don't know what's inside you. My friends were upset. They said, Shegu, you are too rigid. You are too rigid. The problem they had was they were looking at our fellowship in comparison to that ministry. It's as far as the heavens are above the earth. I said, I'm not in the hurry. I don't know what is there. I taught the word of God. In fact, that was where I taught the reality of Christianity. Called Revelation of the Christian, which is where we have Revelation of Christianity. And I told them, May 20, 1998, I'm dropping this. So they said, why? I said, I will not build on another man's foundation. I won't do it. I said, I won't do that. I don't know what's in them. An established church and ministry. I'm not saying it's wrong. I mean, sometimes people are led by the Spirit of God to do it, but I was not. Very clearly. So, watch this now. It's your job to get that finished product. It's your job to get the finished product. You don't complain. That's your job. You provide guidance. I was saying that a leader doesn't pass the buck. I was talking to the heads of department, or those who lead departments here. Something happened during the service. Not just a normal protocol thing. So I asked them, what happened? So the person in charge said, one of the people who was meant to be in charge. I said, no, leaders don't talk like that. You will say, we. Right? Even though you are not directly the one who is handling it, but it is your duty. You say, we. The same way you talk about your flock, the flock under you. So we need to don't say some, no, we. Now, if I now ask for details, you can now give me the intricate information, but you must not pass the buck. Don't do it. It's your duty. You don't run away from responsibilities. Don't pass the ball. Don't call someone else's name. And in the spirit, the moment you do things like that, you pass the duty. It's gone. Don't share it. This fellow? No. We. So you must provide guidance by taking responsibility. Number six, practical training. Practical training. You'll find activities. Practical training. And how do you know? Now, those of us who, how many of you have, you have to train people at work? Not onboarding process. I mean, you have to train people practically. How many of you have to do that? Let me see your hand. Now, what do you do when you train? How do you know the guy is ready? He's able to walk without supervision. Right? You are not there. Now, bring that into your disciples. He prays without you taking him there. Right? Come on. Goes for evangelism on his own. Right? Right? On a Sunday morning, carries out ministry on his own. You don't have to. You don't have to. So you can judge your finished product very easily. Those who now can take responsibility for themselves. And you cannot know if there's no activity. You must provide activity. Bringing someone to church is okay. But that's not what we're talking about. You must know the activities. Jesus sent them out to go. Now, did he pour his life in them? Did he impart them? Did he instruct them? Did he guide them? Come on. He did. Did he minister the grace of God to them? Come on now. Did he teach them strongly, night and day? Did he provide activities for them like prayer? Then he sent them out to preach. Yes, you must provide that activity. And when he sent them to preach, he wasn't there. He sent them to preach, he wasn't there. They came back sometimes with, results that weren't complete. Oh, there's a woman came back and said, your disciples could not cast this demon out. F9. He rebuked them, corrected them, cast out the demon, and they kept watching him correct them. So you must provide practical things to be done. And until the brother or sister is doing it by himself. I'm not saying, you are going by yourself tomorrow. Mm-mm. That is still supervision. Till they do it all by themselves and you watch it over time. Right? Then, and also watch them take responsibility for other people's lives. Then you are seeing a finished product. You're about to see what it will look like. Are you learning something? What it should look like. You must know what it is. If you don't know what it is, then you will not know what your job is. I had to even sometimes call the attention of leaders. If you are going to recommend someone to lead others, what parameters are you using? It has to be the same parameters used for you. But now, there will be a problem, for example, if we start to pick leaders randomly with no parameters, they will also reproduce themselves. I told you, you do not change the mold. Don't change it. Don't change it. You can change the use of the product, but you can't change the mold. The mold determines the effectiveness, the strength of the product. So there must be practical things. Galatians 4:19, my little children, of whom I travail at birth again till Christ be formed in you. So to get the finished product requires travail, pain, a whole lot of pain. You know, I was saying that to some leaders today. I said, sometimes you're not even feeling so good. I'm not asking you to take care of your health. I take care of mine. Take care of your health. Rest very well. and all that's necessary, but part of your life for those under your care is even when you are paid and you are leading. Now the world may frown at that because it's anti-cultural. How can somebody, this doesn't make sense. But unfortunately, they will clap at it if it was something else. I sent a video out about some guys who were watching the, what do you call that in America? I forgot the name. The Super Bowl. And there was snow. And these guys were right there in the snow. Snow. That you run is, oh! They were right there. And they said, for the love of the game. I said, now put this as a prayer meeting. Even if it's a guy going there to kneel down and ask a girl out, they say, what love? He loves her so much, he's not even feeling cold. The girl said, oh, so you can ask me to marry you if it's cold. You must really love me. You say, Romeo and Juliana. But if you do that, an evangelist says, must you kill yourself? So perish for us. That's how the world thinks. So, you are doing it for the Lord. Paul was stoned, taken for dead. He gets up and heads for Asia to preach. That's why he used that testimony in many of his letters. Of whom I travel at Bath, till Christ be formed in you. So hear this well. Now listen carefully to this. I've taught you this before, but it's good to bring it back again to your memory. You know that what I just described now, there's a limit to the number you can do it with. Are you aware? There's a limit to the number with which you can do it. There's a limit. You cannot give that attention to 120 people. How? 120 people? You will personally mentor them and spend how many hours with them every day? Or 200 people? Or 300 people? Or 1,000 people? No. All you need to do is to have a structure just like we're doing here now. To have your own 12. Remember that? Your 3. Your 1. Then the 70. Then the 120. Usually 1 will lead with the 3, will lead the 12. The 12 will guide the 70 and the 120. Are you following what I'm saying there? Well, you are still the one discipling them, but you have a structure. Because what you are pouring in one is pouring another one. 2 Timothy 2:2. So I'm going to ask you this. Do you have that structure in place? Do you have it in place? That the moment I know I'm teaching Pastor Lan, I know that Pastor Lan is teaching someone else. So I've structured it. Part of my training here is to ensure it's training someone else. So I am indirectly training that person. You get what I'm talking about? Okay, so that's what, you must have a structure. Don't wait till you are 1,000, have the structure now! So that you know, as I'm raising this one, I'm raising someone through the person. Like someone asking me, we have a challenge with discipleship, should we stop evangelism and focus on discipleship? I said, what are you going to disciple with? It's the same evangelism we are going to use. Just design a proper structure that you are able to reach others with your mold. Your mold will be your 3, your 1, your 12. You cannot do the same thing to that huge number. I don't want you to use a huge number. It's at a certain number after a while. Design it immediately. Because you see, without such wisdom and structure, you will be burning energy needlessly in the wrong things. What you should pour on one, You spread thin on many. And so no one in particular will be strong. Do you get what I'm talking about here? Come on, guys. Do you know what I'm talking about here? Is it clear to you what I just said? What you ought to pour in one, who will now pour? Let me say 5. Let me say 12. Who will now pour it in another 70? Duplicate it like that. You will now pour it on the 70. There it will be, you spread it thin. So no one will be strong. But pick your 12. I have given you a number already. Pick that number. And pour your life in it. Like I said to you, if the number is, for example, 10, have like a 20. Right? And you are pouring things in them. Your vision is not 20. Are you here? Your vision is 200. But your 20 is your mold. And that mold, you focus on them. You pour everything in there. But you keep your eyes on the 200. Keep your eyes on the 2,000. Why are you pouring so much on the 20 for the 2,000? So you ensure you build so much in them. After teaching the 2,000, you focus on the 200, or the 20, pardon me, you begin to build so much in them. Sometimes they won't know why. But your eyes are on the larger number. You must have that. A structure that works. Practical. So I'm going to talk about 3 people. 3 in scripture. And we're going to see the process. That process does not change. No, it doesn't. The first person is Joshua. Joshua, we don't know where he came from, but we know he began to walk with Moses. Let's run through some text. Exodus 17 and verse 9. You also can't have a disciple remotely. You cannot disciple people remotely. Exodus 17, 9. And Moses said to Joshua, choose out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Joshua did as Moses had said to him. So he was someone he was giving instructions to. In verse 10. In verse 13, Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of a sword. In verse 14, the Lord said to Moses, write us a memorial in the book and rehearse in the ears of Joshua. So, did they have fellowship? Huh? Come on. Was there mentorship? Talk to me. Practical training? There was. You could see him with him. He was with him. In Exodus 24 and 13. Exodus 24, 13. This is where they get the theme of deacon from. Exodus 24, 13. And the Lord, I'll put Leviticus, can you imagine? 24 verse 13. And Moses rose up and his what? Now change that phrase today. Associate pastor? Does it work? Does it work? With him. So he is with him. So you can see that Moses didn't train the 70 elders directly. There was, or the elders directly, pardon me, there was a Joshua that he poured everything into, who was always with him. Everybody cannot always be with you. Jesus had the multitude, he had the 120 maybe, but he had the 70, he had the others, he had the 12. The 12 were the closer ones, or the close ones. Then he had the 3, the closer ones. Then he had 1. Some of us are yet to apply this very well. You are just managing. You know when you are just managing. Look, let me just have people in my fellowship. You will be afraid of your results later on and be ashamed. Keep your eyes on the ball. Keep your eyes on the ball. Don't you? Let me just, so because of that lack of patience, we start to recycle people. Rather stay with a Joshua or stay with a Peter. The moment the Peter doesn't show signs, look for somebody else. And you now have a large number of people who you are spreading yourself thin, you're not raising them. So he's called Moses' associate. In Exodus 32 verse 17, you know, when the nation of Israel, when they went after idols, look at something significant there. Exodus 32 and verse 17. And Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted. He said to Moses, there's a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, wasn't there a cry for being overcome, but not of them that sing do I hear. Came to pass as he came near. So he was someone who was giving feedbacks to Moses. In chapter 33 and 11, the Lord was talking to Moses face to face. Watch this. As a man speaks to his friend. Moses went for a retreat. He went to pray. He was there for 40 days and 40 nights. He turned again to the camp. His servant, Joshua, son of Nun, a young man, what did he do? He did not leave. Can you see it? He did not leave. He's there. He did not leave. So in Numbers 11:28, he runs to Moses. Oh, some guys, you know, they're not prophesying in the camp. They're right there. And Moses, don't be envious for my sake. He's learning. He's learning. He's always around. That's why his name sticks out. In Numbers 13 and 16, one of the reasons why Joshua had another spirit was association with Moses. He speaked out of one of the spies. In Numbers 14 and 6. Numbers 14, 6. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, they rent their clothes when people walked in disobedience. They said, no. We are able to go. The spirit of faith had rubbed off on them, particularly Joshua. In verse 30 and 38. 30, sorry. In Numbers 14. Nevertheless, you shall not come to the land which I swore to make you dwell in, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. Verse 38. So they were picked out. Why? Because they had caught something. Through a process. Through experiences. Practical things. Numbers 26. And verse 68. No, 68. I think it's 65. There was not a man left of them, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. So by the time he got Numbers 27, it was therefore natural for Joshua to carry out the ministry of Moses. Had he been trained? Huh? Was he a finished product? You will always know. The test of that finished product came up in Numbers 13 and 14. And he stood out. All the years. And let me ask you, when he was following Moses, did he know he was going to replace him? Huh? No. He was just raised. He was just raised. And so in 17, when he was chosen, 18 says, the Lord said to him, take thee, Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit, and lay your hands upon him. Verse 18. Verse 22. Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and set him before Eleazar, the priest, and before the congregation. He laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge. Let me ask you, would you have been surprised if you were in the congregation No. It was obvious. He was Moses' disciple. Same as Timothy. Acts 16. Paul sought Timothy. I found him. Timothy began to follow Paul. Everywhere. Acts 16, verse 17, verse 14 and 15. Sorry, Acts 17, pardon me. Verse 14 and 15. You see Timothy with Paul. Acts 18, verse 5. Acts 19, verse 22. Acts 20, verse 4. Acts 16, verse 1. Acts 17, verse 14 and 15. Acts 18, verse 5. Acts 19, 22. Acts 20, verse 4. They were always together. In the work of the ministry. Not together watching movies. Not together, you know, seeing movies. So I was telling me, my disciple took me out to Silver Bell Cinema. Ah. Your disciple is now pulling out for lion. or who now? That's not my disciple. You are correct. This is your disciple. That's not your pastor. The work of the ministry. Look, watch this now. And all of Paul's letters, Romans 16 and 21, 1 Corinthians 4 verse 17, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 10, Timothy's name features, 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 1, and then verse 19, Timothy's name features. Philippians 1 verse 1. Philippians 2 verse 19, Timothy's name features. Colossians 1 verse 1, Timothy's name features. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 1, his name features. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 2 and 6, his name features. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 1, his name features. There are only two letters that Paul wrote that Timothy's name doesn't feature. The one to the Galatian church. And why? You see evidence that Barnabas was still around. The story of Barnabas is in there. And it was Paul's first letter. And the one to Ephesus. Technically, there are two reasons for that. One of them is that by biblical studies, the name Ephesians was given much later. It was meant to be a general letter to all of Paul's letters, or Paul's churches. So, assumably, Timothy not featuring there, really, is called the nature of the letter. But, in 1 Timothy 1:3, it was the same Timothy he sent to Ephesus. So, this man was part of everything Paul was doing. He wasn't missing meetings. He was always there. Like I shared in the service today, I've taught you over time, that one of the ways they chose the replacement of Judas was availability. The one who is around. Don't make excuses for people. Uncle Ladele said this to us in 1991. I will never forget it. 1990, sorry. He said, you guys, I didn't even know I was going to be in the ministry like I am today. He said, there is a tendency that you pick ability over availability. He said, some guys who have the ability, they will show the skills. They will show the everything. But they will not always be around. He said, you will be tempted to choose those people above those who are available. He said, don't make that error. He warned us very early. He said, those who are able might not be available. This is 34 years ago. He said, those who are available might not show ability. But if they keep being available, they will get the ability. I don't need to be told that. I've seen it myself. There are people who were with us years ago. And I can prove their ability. I know. I've seen things they've worked with. But when they stop being available, that's no longer useful for us. And there are those who came years after. Who didn't show that ability, but just by being available, we found the ability. Don't be tempted to see people who look finished. Then you are tempted to be the ones you want to adopt. No, you don't know what finished them. Availability is important. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 2, Paul calls Timothy by name. Why would you call someone by name? It shows the kind of mentorship they had. Fellowship. 1 Timothy 1:18. 1 Timothy 6:20. 2 Timothy 1 and 2. My dear son Timothy. When he wrote to Philemon 2, I forgot to add that, Timothy's name was there. He was suspected that he must have been the same Timothy in Hebrews 13 verse 23. That's the same example of Joshua. Don't change that method. Is that okay? Now let me ask you a question. By building Timothy, did Paul build thousands? Exactly. Pour your life in. You might not be able to lay hands on everybody, but you have laid hands on Timothy. He laid hands on Timothy, then he structured Timothy on who he's laying hands upon. 1 Timothy 5:22. So you must pour yourself. And you know, don't just have a Timothy that comes to your house to eat, then you just share doctrine with them and they go. No, there was activity, right? He was on the mission. Reaching the lost. Winning souls. The Paul was pouring everything in him. Who is that finished product? Timothy is a finished product. Joshua is a finished product. And in the book of Acts, we saw two scenarios, or three. After the apostles had chosen a replacement for Judas, and they marked it, don't change that process. They said, must one be chosen to be a witness of the resurrection? Who? Said one who was with us, Acts 1:21, all of the time. Do not change the method. Unavailability is a symptom. Don't overlook it. Now, I'm not asking you to become harsh and cold. If someone is not available for very legitimate reasons, you know what I mean by that, definitely. But some just absent themselves. Now, they could be in process, and you walk with them, ensure they are stable, but they are not finished. Availability is important. Who was with us all of the time? Who went in and out for the relevant times? From the baptism of John, why did that stand out? Because it's not a mere event. What are the meetings you are using that stand out? What are the meetings that are? All your disciples know we don't miss this one, no. How won't you be at John's baptism? If you are not there, how do you want to preach that Jesus is the Christ? You were not there. That was when Jesus' ministry began. It makes no sense. You know, there's some brethren, I was saying in the church today, some brethren, you will see them at some events. Someone's wedding, they will be there. They will be the events manager, very active. They will even help you. When you are doing something for your family, they say, don't worry, Pastor. We'll take care of anything. Drinks, don't worry. We'll sort the drinks. I've told some brother, hey, we even spoke. They know how to talk to each other. I spoke to Brother Tayo. We're going to arrange the car. We're going to, hey, that's not ministerial. And then you everything, they provide the cake on your birthday. They're the first one that will write a long poem. The gift of God for me. Oh, where would my life had been? It wasn't the church on Sunday without Pastor Coyote. My life has never remained the same. They were long poem. I told someone one day, I said, all I wish this is true. So our pastor, I said, do you know where they are calling me Baba? 30 years ago, you were not born. You didn't know how to fool me Baba. I mean, God, Baba since. Baba. Baba. I don't want to say, it's not Baba, it's Ogi Baba. Who are you and who? They were my age mates. My age mates and those who are senior to me were calling me Baba 30 years ago. You think that will fool me now? Now that I'm a even Baba. Do you understand? When I was not Baba, that is I didn't have children then, I believe. They didn't call me Baba. They called me Baba. Is it now ever Baba? No, that's to fool you. When our congregation, you can look out and see everybody. They call me Apostle, Prophet, Evangelist, Pastor, Teacher. Is it now that to fool me? Do you understand? Oh Lord, you are the apostle of the generation in the same room. Is it now that to fool me? No. So they'll be around. You'll see them. Pastor's appreciation. I didn't say you should not do it though. They'll be the most active. They know how to package those things. That's not the relevant thing, no. WCC. Prayer rally. Outreach. Crusade. Amen. Follow up. Don't be stupid. Say, when the person showed up. Showed up for your wedding. Arranged everything for you. That's when you know they can, they will help you to do your headgear. Sister so-and-so, no big deal, man. I can help you. Brother so-and-so, outreach, prayer meeting. You now give excuses for them because they are committed elsewhere to you. From baptism of John. Spiritual events. Till the day he was taken. Know the events you are using. Is that clear? And don't be sentimental. Let me say something to you. Have you seen a student who was passed through school without passing? Eh? You know what they become society? Someone told me, I said, a medical student. So what are you saying? He said, Mexi. This person, listen well, though, to that department had the highest jam score. This particular person kept finding ways till I won't use you or she. Became a medical doctor. When you have children, you cannot take care of. Now I went to raise somebody, gave the person cell group leader. Now I say, minister by the Holy Ghost. Go, Baba. Go. Okay. Lead prayer. 2 minutes. Baba boy. Brethren. Look at the finished product. Do you know the finished product? So when you get back today, go and look at your list again. And know who is who. Because it's laziness that will make you pass certified someone you have not worked on. It's laziness. Laziness. Someone was telling me, hey, my disciple, I said, do you know what we have done with people who had the same problem? You increase your prayer, your discipleship. And there's nothing you can do about it. That is your job. No, that just be coming to church. Then you now give the pastor the responsibility. Who's going to church? I know when he comes to church, things will change. You are seeing the person, everything did not change. Just drive the person to church. How about now? I have work to do. I mentioned just three. Of course, they chose Matthias. They picked him out because he was punctual, available. I believe they must have sent him on errands. And he went. Was there to hear the word. He was there when the crowd left. He's not that kind of person that simple instructions. I tell you, pastors, if someone cannot listen to you on what everybody can see, you tell them, behave yourself in the social media. Behave yourself at work. Behave yourself in the church. And you want to give the person a responsibility to oversee people that you cannot see. That's careless. We have to judge you. Because God is going to hold a pastor responsible for the leaders he recommends. No one is ever going to be perfect. But there must be basic things. Don't pass for a finished product, a work in progress. You will ruin the person's path. Are you there? Good. Look at the man Stephen. We are going to look for assertion in Acts 6. Say, look amongst you, in verse 3, seven men of honest report. That means the way we see you in the church matters. Honest report. Full of the Holy Ghost. Full of wisdom that we may appoint over this business. And then they chose Stephen. Full of faith. Full of the Holy Ghost. And look at Stephen. I shared this over the week. He preached the Bible from Genesis to book of Malachi. Why? Because he was obviously around. He confronted the Pharisees the way Paul and Co, Peter and Co would. He preached so much, Acts 7:54 says, their heart was caught. He was full of the Holy Ghost, Acts 7:55. Looked up to heaven and saw the Son of God. When they stoned him, he spoke just like Jesus. Do not take away conduct. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Conduct. The gifts of the Spirit. The ability to teach the word of God. And of course, to listen to instructions. Don't remove anyone in getting a finished product. Then we had Philip, who went out to Samaria to preach Christ. Acts 8:5. People with one accord gave it to him at Acts 8:6. He also had the apostles come and he submitted to them despite all the miracles he saw. He was accountable to the apostles. He was able to produce their ministry, produce their conduct, and he was also able to be accountable. Then we had Ananias, who a certain disciple, he was able to interact with the supernatural. He was able to listen to instructions and follow. And don't forget, what was important about Ananias? Jesus didn't choose an apostle to lay hands on Paul. He was a brother in church, a member of a cell group who's been trained. Now, do you know how important this is? Now, listen carefully. Ananias was meant to now take Paul and show him to the apostles. And recognize that Paul had seen Jesus. Now imagine if Ananias was known for telling lies. And he says, ah, brethren, that's how I saw Jesus. Brody! Ah, it's true. He said, Paul saw Jesus. He's always exaggerating. Doesn't have a good report. Has caught many girls in the church. Has caught so many people. Tells lies. You can't believe what he's saying. Jesus himself will not appear to him. He said, brethren, there was one guy like that in the fellowship led by my friend. So the guy was giving testimony. I said, wow. And the guy was saying, you know, that's how God did it. He did it. And he mentioned the amount of money. I said, wow. My friend said, don't know, you can't fool yourself. He said, we have never seen that money. He said, his money is always testimony money. He said, we see the test, not the money. I will never forget that testimony. He said, he will still come and beg money after the service. I said, why does he do it? He said, I don't know. Do you know it's possible that something true will not happen to him? But scope is too much. Be a man of integrity. And Ananias must have been a man of integrity so that we can take his testimonies and go to bed. Then like you say something, bro, brother was telling me a testimony when he said, you know, he said, faith works, so I've done a faith teaching. He said, son was believing God for a car. They gave him the engine of a Volkswagen. They gave him the body of a 504. The tires of a Benz. Said, put it together. But I've been boss said, pastor faith. So if we see him today, he's a pastor somewhere in the world. If we all see ourselves, I'm saying, pastor faith is a language of the pastor faith. It's only 30 years old. You know, he didn't change. He was doing a program one day, then he now called someone and did a photograph. Then he put his hands like this. The girl was like this. And he said, high blood pressure healed. <laughs> 1998. I said, pastor faith. He hasn't changed. He has still not changed. He has still not changed. He said, no, right now he said, high blood pressure healed. And he took, not in a meeting, no. It was in a room. What kind of story is this? He said, Ore, it's not like that, Ore. I said, who is your Ore? Ananias was like that, a man of integrity. They had the 12 in Ephesus. Paul met them. He groomed them for 3 years. And Paul could now put them over the churches. Finished products. How did he get them that way? He said he taught them night and day. Acts 20, verse 31. Night and day. Now watch this one. You know in Acts 19, when Paul met the 12, Acts 19, verse 6 and 7, and the Holy Ghost came on them, they were 12. He now went to the synagogue and began to preach. And somehow, people began to dispute with him. You know, some of us will have focused on those who are disputing with you. You don't lose your focus. Paul just separated his disciples. Always know what your assignment is. I tell your younger guys, they will stay on Twitter, argue from morning till night. Over what? They'll stay on Facebook, be arguing. You are not called to argue, you are called to raise disciples. And they will waste their time and energy. And what is the argument about? Who is winning? Ego. I told someone, I said, all this is your debate on social media. Go and write a book first. Let's read it. Go and write the book. Go and write the book. Bring it. When we are done with it, you will just love the book of life alone. Write it and read it. You know how to talk about that book's works. Write your own. Or do a series. Bring it. When we are done with your series, you see pulpit, you run. Yeah. Your work, our lives. Paul focused on, if Paul had focused on the argument, Ephesus would never have been reached. He focused on the 12. Keep your focus. Are you here? Are you here? I said that to you last night. 2 nights ago. To keep your focus. So look at your leadership now. Do you recognize a finished product? So you know the next thing. Don't call a finished product until it is a finished product. Don't forget. We said your job is number one to reach out, right? Mentorship. Fellowship. A strong teaching culture. Impartations. Providing guidance. Practical training. Let your work be cut out. And I said provide structure, right? Provide structure. Know your 12. Know your 70. Know your 120. You can't pour the same thing to everyone. Know the ones you are pouring everything to. They are your first concern.
With them you multiply the congregation in substance. You didn't hear what I just said? Know your leadership. Who is that Joshua? Who is a Timothy? In your group, cell group, in your fellowship, in your church. Who are the Timothys that you are pouring everything to? Your focus is on them. Strongly spending the time. What is your own baptism of John? And the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's your own specialty? That can't be missed. Are you watching the availability and punctuality? Look at those things. Know what the finished product is. Don't pass for finished what has not been trained at all. You'll be doing a disservice to the Lord Jesus Christ and the body of Christ. Today we do have a deluge of badly trained people. Pastor Lau was telling me someone who was a pastor of the church by a ministry and said, I've never seen a soul saved before. That was not my first time. The church I told you I led, I took that, you call them chapter pastors, I took them out for evangelism. They had never done it before. But we are always paying artists to come and sing. This was in the 90s. Then they'll gather people. The last one they did before I got in, they called this guy who used to sing for Fela Nicola Kukuti. And they paid him a lot of money. Back then. Tens of thousands of naira. And church was 200,000. They gave him a driver, car. And I said, what was this for? So the guy would come and share testimony how he used to smoke hemp. And then now call people, if you used to smoke hemp, stop smoking hemp. I said, you are all smoking hemp. He said, never again. He said, we all go out ourselves. We went to Ayilara. You know where Ayilara is? To go preach. Took them to Adenirogo. So we all went there. I said, we all need pure water here. That's all. And pure water will not cost us more than 100 naira. Water, pure water, go preach! 200k. Chai! The guy can't call in, they cry. When you are smoking, why would you cry? Cry over what? Too sad. They were pastors. Never led anyone to Christ. If we do that, posterity will judge us wrong because we know the truth. When you know the truth, you have to do the truth. We know who a minister is. We know who a pastor is. Our standards and parameters are from God's word, and we are going to stick to it in the name of Jesus. Did you hear me? Stand to your feet. Rededicate your life. Stand to your feet. To grooming men, substantial, full of substance. Not to be in a hurry. Not to pass for finished what has not been worked on at all. Not to give up on people. Not to be lazy. To pour out your life and ministry. You dedicate yourself for this.